Seen you locked and changed, didn't ease my pain. Left me feeling ashamed out in the rain. Can't explain the pain, how I stay sane. Don't like the game, will it ever change? Afternoon and greetings, everyone. I am Dr. Tommy Watson, the host of Resilient Stories Podcast, where we share the grit and glory behind stories of amazing people like yourself who have bounced back from failure and adversity to go on to live their best lives on purpose. Today's show is being sponsored by Million Dollar Business Pathway. We believe everyone has a story to tell and a story to sell. If you want to learn how to tell and sell your story, go to tawatson.com under the programs tab and click on Million Dollar Business Pathway and get started. Are you ready for an amazing story and situation today on this episode? Joining me, I have Charlotte Stallings from Minneapolis, Minnesota, who's Houston, Texas now. Sorry. How you doing today, Charlotte?
I am great, Tommy. It's a pleasure to be with you. Thank you. Yes, so I hail from North Minneapolis, but I do consider myself a Houstonian now. I've been here a good long time.
Awesome. Thank you for joining me today, Charlotte. I really appreciate your time here. Charlotte, so what's the latest taking place with you? I know you're speaking all over the place, and any new happenings coming up?
So, I've been in the speaking space for a good long time. It's a passion of mine. And what I'm excited about going into 2021 is this whole thing that I am embracing fully. And I call it winning without perfection or permission.
Oh, I like that.
And that for me resonates so much because I have been one throughout my life where I've kind of second guessed myself or mm-hmm. I thought I had to have it all right. And continuing to realize that's not the case. And as I meet executives and professionals and individual contributors and team leaders, there can be some of that under the surface as well. Sure. And so that is my going forward launching pad for this year, really something I embraced middle of last year, but yes. You're going to be hearing about that everywhere. And that's with our finances. That's with our lives, our relationships everywhere. So be on the lookout for winning without perfection or permission.
Yeah. I love it because, you know, so many of us go through life and we want to win all the time. And we think we have to be perfect, you know, to really get the W. And that's, we're giving ourselves permission to know that we don't have to be perfect, right?
Don't have to be perfect at all. And sometimes this idea, and you've known this and I'm sure heard it, but done is better than perfect, you know? Yeah. So it's like getting out there. How will we know what we need to refine, what we need to improve on, how we can improve unless we give it a start? So that's where I'm going. Everything tied to winning without perfection or permission. So be on the lookout.
I love it. So Charlotte, one of the big things we do on this podcast here is we love to share the stories of people who are doing amazing things, but we also want to go back and kind of have them go back to their lives, you know, the early years when they got started, and talk to us a little about some of the challenges they faced and how they made it through some of the challenges. Because people look at you today, they see a very successful young lady traveling all over the place and on the news media everywhere, but they may not necessarily know your backstory. So I'm gonna start off with the first question: is what has been some of the biggest challenges you faced, whether it be professionally in your career or either in life? What are some of the big challenges you face?
Mm-hmm. So I'm going to kind of come from two angles. So I will start with the personal. I agree with you. We all have a story and I'm compelled by yours. And so thankful that you're here and creating this platform for people to share their stories because it gives encouragement to others. So my story in the sense, like so many others, so it's not a sad song. It's just my story. Raised in a single parent home, the oldest of five kids. My father left when we were young, in and out of the home. So for me, Tommy, the biggest obstacle, I think just starting out, was realizing that, you know, I had to grow up quickly. I started working at 14. I say not for fun, but for real. Been paying bills for a whole long time. And the reality of growing up to become this woman child. I was the, I think, surrogate other parent in the home. Not that my mother, forced that on me. I just had to be that sure. example, do all those things. And Tommy, there were times when there just wasn't enough money to go around. My mom was on welfare, food stamps, Section 8 housing. And so lights would be disconnected, heat would be turned off. And that's no fun to spend a weekend in the house, in the dark and in the cold. But that was that. And so the biggest, I think that was the biggest kind of thing. And it was something that I let define me for a bit. until, and I'm not trying to jump ahead, but there was a teacher who I'm still connected to today. And the first day of ninth grade English, she was doing the role. Charlotte McGregor, are you present? I said, yes. And I said, hey, by the way, I'm underprivileged, just so you'll know. I literally said that. Wow. And she said, sit down after class. I need to talk to you. And Tommy, she told me, I told her my story. I pulled out the food stamps. I said, you know, my dad's left. Here's what we have to do. And here's my life. And she said, you're using that as an excuse, as a crutch. So nobody will expect much of you. So if you fail, they go, oh, well, you know, she was from the projects. Her dad left her on food stamps, welfare. She said, let that go. Let that go. And never, never, ever speak it again. And it crushed me because she called me out. But here's what it did. It said, that doesn't have to define me. So I went way left. But that was one big challenge. And it's been kind of that, I won't say baseline, but it's the thing that I come back to, like, no, Charlotte, don't, you know, don't use it as a crutch.
Sure.
Keep going. God's blessed you. You've got much ahead to do and keep going forward. So that's one. There's a business one, but that's one that was always kind of foundational for me.
Yes. That is, you know, that's amazing. You know, I had an older sister who was the oldest of six of us, and she had to kind of assume the same role you assumed at the time, you know. And, you know, oftentimes we hear of kids going through those situations, though, Charlotte, but we don't necessarily know how it felt. What did it feel like going through that situation where you're coming home, your lights are out, you're dealing with food stamps, you're not sure when your next meal's, you're seeing your mom working hard, but you still don't know how the ends are going to meet. How did that feel?
So I think early on, Tommy, I didn't know that it wasn't kind of a good thing. I was glad that I could be this responsible big sister. I was glad to be able to help my mom. And I didn't know it was a problem or a potential burden until I recalled a conversation. We were very young. I remember living in South Minneapolis behind Honeywell off 35W, I think. Mm-hmm. And it was kindergarten. We were moving to the other side of town into the projects. I overheard a counselor come and tell my teacher, pack up Charlotte's things. This is going to be her last day. And the teacher said, why? It's middle of the semester, the grading period. Why? And the counselor said to the teacher, she leaned in literally and whispered, and she kind of looked around and she said, they're underprivileged. They're moving to the projects, the new projects. And I heard that and I thought, the projects, yay, it's exciting. And I thought I needed to tell people we're underprivileged. We're getting ready to move to these projects. Right. I know it sounds crazy, Tommy, but I was a little shorty, didn't know. And so I used to proudly introduce myself. I'm Charlotte and we live in the projects and we're underprivileged. And then later somebody said, you know, that's not cute. Hmm. It's not a good thing. Mm-hmm. You're on underprivileged means your mom, she's working a job, but she's got food stamps. You don't have a car. You got to take the bus everywhere. And then that's where I started to develop this callousness and this like hardness. So how did it feel? Yeah. At first, it felt like we're special. And then it started to feel like, no, I have a big old L on the top of my forehead or on my back. And people just know. People scoffed at us. People talked about my mom, mm-hmm. you know, one or two dresses and five kids. Like, what kind of woman has five kids running around town?
Sure.
People rejected us. So I felt put out. I never felt put upon by my mother. I was proud and happy to be able to be there, but it felt As I got, it felt very isolating. It felt sometimes burdensome. And I was angry. There was a period where I was mad at my dad. How dare you shirk your responsibility? Because he had a whole nother life and children and everything he was doing. And here we're struggling. So I felt a lot of different things. And it was hard. A long time, but it went the gamut.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I appreciate your transparency and honesty about that as well, though. So as you were going through this, Charlotte, what type of coping mechanisms or strategies did you use to kind of evolve from one place to the next place?
Ooh, coping. I think it was talking. I think it was listening. Mm-hmm. So even I think that day in ninth grade, when I said to Miss Hunter at Lincoln Junior High that, you know, I'm underprivileged, I think that was me reaching out. I think that was me coping. That was, you know, say it, speak it, put it out there. Maybe someone will hear you. And really being able to sit and listen to her and hear her. She spoke into me that day and that changed my life. Mm-hmm. That changed the whole direction because it started with my mindset. That is a crutch. You're not the last family whose father has left you. You're not the first, you're not the last. So the coping was talking, it was listening. It was my mom, she helped us cope. We were very engaged with our church and with activities. So my brothers played sports. We were able to go to the art center, Metropolitan Community Cultural Arts Center, and be involved in things. So it was that exposure to opportunities that allowed us to cope. But my mom, I have to credit her with having the wherewithal to know I need them involved. I need them to be exposed because if they can see, literally see possibilities, then they can formulate plans and strategies for their lives. So,
That's absolutely amazing. And kudos to your mother for doing that, because that's a huge step for overcoming any obstacle. So if you start thinking about some of the steps you took, if there was someone out there right now kind of facing similar circumstances, whether it be a mom or a teenager, what three things would you tell them that you did to kind of overcome those obstacles you were facing at the time there?
So again, I'll reinforce what I said. It is open your mouth and speak. Like, find somebody to be able to say, even if you can't formulate it. I really do think that day when I said that to Miss Hunter, I'm Charlotte and I'm underprivileged, it was a reach out. I didn't understand it then, but I'd say figure out a way to talk to somebody, find somebody who will listen. So speak, talk, and then be open to what they might say to you, and to apply it to your life. Like, just create that way that you can talk, you can express yourself, hear them with your heart, hear them with your head, hear them, take some action on what they say. And then this is the last thing, Tommy, and I'd even put this before everything. My mom would always say to us, it's not going to be this way always.
Yes.
It's not going to be this way always. So that was like a cornerstone, foundational. People call it a mantra. It's your affirmation, your confession, whatever you want to call it, but she ingrained that in us. So that was the backdrop for me. However it is right now, it's not going to be this way always.
Yes.
It's not going to be us struggling all the time. We're not going to be every single weekend in the dark or in the cold.
Yes.
We're not going to struggle. It won't be this way always. So getting some kind of anchor in your mind, in your spirit, in your soul that lets you know this is a temporary situation, and temporary may be over spanning over a couple of years, but it's not going to be this way forever.
Yes.
Those would be the things I'd offer to anybody.
I love it. Great advice. So it sounds like your mother and your teacher in high school, ninth grade, were very instrumental in your life. Were there anyone else that kind of came into your life during that time? That was
yes. My godmother, she was a woman who really embraced my mom. You know, so think about it. Way back in the day, five children, single mom. You know, there's just a thing. It's like, don't talk to her because how you in that spot. But she did. She embraced us. She's passed away. Her name is Mary Dunn, and she took us under her wing. She took my mother under her wing. She gave us dignity. We didn't have to walk everywhere or take the bus. She let us ride in her car. Five kids, her and my mom, packed up in the car. We are here because of her. And it was our church community. We were very, very involved in church. And so it was people, it was church. And I'd love to say there were different individuals, but it was the space. We weren't looked down. We were a part of something that was important and valuable, and that developed us. We could use our talents. I was a Sunday school teacher. I was the church announcer. I mean, those were the groundings for me being a speaker. I could get there and speak and share and get love and be embraced. So Mary Dunn, for real. Gracie Hunter, I just talked to her this morning, my ninth grade English teacher.
Really?
Connected, yes. North High and Lincoln Junior High. So Mary Dunn, for real, made a difference in our whole lives. Those are the people.
That is absolutely beautiful. You know, so it sounds like the turning point for you came when you were talking to your teacher, and she said that, you know, you got to look at it differently though. You know, so a lot of young people get those moments, Charlotte, where someone says, hey, you know what? You're at a fork in the road. Here's the information I want you to receive to go a different way. Some people rejected, some accepted. What made you embrace what she was telling you at the time and begin to chart a new pathway? What, I mean, what was it about you at that time? Because you could have said, hey, you know, lady, you know what you're talking about.
Right,
I live in projects.
Right.
You're not there, you know?
Exactly, Tommy. Yeah. I could have. And I just think it was that she was so bold with it. She that here's the thing. I saw her as my teacher. She had come from South Carolina, was teaching in the Midwest. And she said, I had the same experience. My father was in and out of our home. And so I had never known anybody who had gone through that experience. I didn't know, but here was this woman, and here's where I'm going. I think it's when we are vulnerable or willing to be transparent and say, so for you, Dr. Tommy Watson, oh my gosh, the doctor, but here's the doctor who will tell his story. Yeah. You know, both parents in and out of jail 121 times over the course of your life up through, like, telling the story makes me say,
yes,
okay, I can make it. Yes. So Ms. Hunter, that turning point, and what did it do? It was, I think I was just drawn to, here's somebody who's gone this path. Yes. So she can support me and encourage me, even as a ninth grader. And she didn't judge me, because that's what I think it was. So many had judged us. So many had, you know, people would drive by, literally think about little ducks walking along. They're all in a row, and there's the mama duck. That's how we would look, Tommy. Get that image in your brain. That's how it would look. And people would drive by, and you know how you can't even look. You don't even acknowledge them. It would just drive by.
Right. Absolutely.
And so there's something that does to your dignity, to your personhood. Mm. But Ms. Hunter didn't do that. She didn't judge me. She didn't. She just said, like, snap out of it, little girl. Yeah. This is life, but you're going to be fine. It's not a crutch. Do not use it. And so I think I was scared too. She was Ms. Hunter on the ninth floor. I started as a seventh grader, and you progress. Eighth grade was the second floor. Ninth grade was the third floor. And we heard rumors in seventh grade about mean Ms. Hunter. They said she had horns out of her head, and she was scary. And so to meet her, I think it was a little bit of fear. And I think it was, I want to make this woman proud. There's my mom, there's grandma who married Dunn, and Ms. Hunter. So I think it was all those things. Yeah, it was just, and I think she recognized this woman is on the bubble. This young lady, this girl is on the bubble. And I can say something to her now and really speaking to her, and she'll catch it. I think Ms. Hunter knew that. And she became a great mentor. And as I just hung up with her this morning. We are close. Yeah.
That is amazing. And that's what for you educators out there, that's what being an educator is all about. You're talking about not just from 8 to 4, 8 to 3, when the classroom doors are open and the building shuts down. Those relationships, good educators continue those relationships far beyond the school day and school year and in life. So kudos to her for keeping that relationship going, though. So, Shonda, when you look back over your journey, it sounds like, you know, some of the challenges you were enduring were taking place over a period of time. It wasn't just a one-time situational thing. So what kept you motivated in that process to say, hey, you know, I got to get beyond this situation and change the outcome for myself and for my kids, my grandkids, and everyone who comes after me? So what kept you motivated during that time to kind of chart a new course?
Yeah, so I will continue to come back to the family piece there. Yeah. Everything I wanted to do was to make things better for my family. Okay. Didn't want lights cut off, didn't want to be disconnected. I didn't want my siblings to endure experiences that I had. So as an example, because I was first generation college student, even going to college, like just even preparing for that in high school, what are things I needed to be doing? I was a class president. I was like top of my class. I excelled and done well in high school at North Minneapolis.
Sure.
But that was like I felt so underprepared when I went to college. Like, oh my gosh, we've been playing games in high school. And that whole last year where you don't have to go to classes because you've got all your grades and your credits. And I thought it was a big old thing, but you know what? I got to college my freshman year. Other students had been taking advanced placement classes and they were so prepared. So I felt like when you talk about what motivated me, it was, I want to be in a position to help my siblings and to help others. Yeah. So I could say to them, do not play during that last year of high school. Like, keep taking classes. It's going to better position you for your freshman year of college. It was as basic, Tommy. My motivation was helping my family. And even today, what knowledge can I garner so that I can help them and help others? It's really, that was it at the core. I'd love to say it was something more grandiose that motivated and inspired me. How can I help my family so that we can be in a better spot?
That's beautiful. Very simple and very beautiful and at the core of everything that goes along with it, though. So when you think back, Charlotte, over the situation, how do you think that situation changed or morphed you as a person? Or shaped you as a person? Yeah.
The whole idea of things happen to us Like, yep. I didn't choose to be the oldest child. I didn't choose for our dad to leave. I didn't choose to have to be the extra responsible person. It is. That is such a phrase, colloquialism, yes, that we use. Yet since I'm here, don't wallow. Don't, you know, woe is me. I think that can happen. And not to say I've never done that since then. There have been numerous times where I've, oh my gosh, woe is me. What am I going to do? But that experience allowed me to kind of snap back and go, you know what? Now, from a ninth grade girl, from even prior to that, if you've been able to get through that, not singularly, and certainly with God's help, then this next thing, you can do this too.
Sure.
So it changed me in the perspective that it's a place for me to reference.
Yes.
And to see and to chronicle, okay, that went crazy, but look how it worked out.
Yes.
That was going that way, but look how it worked out. Look what God did. Look what opened up. Look how you were able to help your family and the information they were able to use and then go on and build their family. So it was foundational in being a reference place for me to pull back to and look back and be thankful and be glad and say, I'm all the more inspired to keep going forward and to deposit into others, just like Ms. Hunter poured into me, so many others in my career and in business, then I need to do that. So I'm so mindful of that. Who can I support? Who can I encourage? Who can I help them square their shoulders so they can go forward?
That is beautiful. Now, Charlotte, as you look back over your journey, what would you do differently? Would you do anything differently?
So one thing I would do, so what we've talked about me kind of early in life, and as I think about life, there have been times where I've had other challenges. I think about when I started my business as a speaker and coach and consultant, and there was a, you know, it started off booming and great, and then there was this big old lull, nothing.
Right.
It seemed like I couldn't earn a dime. And then you go back and go, well, I'll go get a job. I couldn't find a job that was, you know, based on my skill set. So here you are stuck between a rock and a hard place.
Sure.
And I would just say, keep going forward with what's in my heart. That's all I could figure to do because every day when I woke up, it was, you know, how can I help somebody? How can I use my gift of speaking and encouraging and motivating and inspiring and transferring information and making it simple for people to grasp? So keep on doing that, Charlotte.
Yes.
Don't stop. Don't back up from it. Keep going forward. Now, that might not have even answered the question that you asked. You maybe need to restate the question again so I give you the right answer, but that's what came to mind. So tell me the question again, Kami.
it's beautiful answer. Anything you'd do differently?
I would remember that to keep going forward. I would, and here's another thing. I wouldn't linger too long in the mess ups, things that were self-imposed.
Yes, that's good.
That were externally imposed because I can get hung up there. Real transparent moment here. I can get hung up in, see what happened and, ooh, I should have done this, shoulda, woulda, coulda. Thus my winning without perfection or permission. You know what? Go forward wherever you are. So anything I do different is just not linger so long in the spaces where either I made mistakes or screwed up on something, a bad decision, a wrong direction, a relationship or a, you know, a friendship or a business connection, dust that off and keep going. So that's what I'd say to somebody. Don't linger too long. Don't spend a lot of energy. Like I can come and get input and advice from you. Take that, run that through my filter, process that, and then act. So that's ultimately what I'm getting to. You know, what would I do differently? It's taking the action.
Yeah.
It is moving forward. So it comes full circle. It's moving forward.
I love it. And that's great advice. Any other advice that you would, you know, we have a lot of folks out there who are going to be business, who are entrepreneurs, educators, parents, leaders, and a lot of capacities and they're facing challenges. Any additional advice you would give those folks as they're facing, I mean, we're coming out of a tough year, Charlotte, you know, 2020 was tough for a lot of people on many different levels, you know. What advice would you give them to look at 2021 in an optimistic way of winning, a way of comeback, you know, a way of learning? What would you tell those folks?
So it's going to be a bit of a dovetail on what I was just saying. I think it's great to get input and advice. The Bible talks about that, you know, to get wise counsel. That's a good thing. But here's what can happen is we get counsel from over here, counsel from over there, counsel, and our heads are filled with knowledge and information, but we're not actioning. So I would say to anybody, whether it's been a struggle or things have been great, whatever you are, take that information, but you got to act on something. And so get focused. I often say this, focus is better than brilliance. Focus is better than brilliance. Focus breeds brilliance. Okay. Yes. So get one thing, the one thing, pick one thing and say, this is what I'm going to focus on, whether it's my personal life, whether it's business, whatever that might be. And if it's your business, if it's, you know, I need to increase sales. So that's going to be my driving focal piece versus trying to do everything. Not to say we can't do a lot of things, but to get laser focused on something, take the advice, take the information. Like I was in the clubhouse, in a room on Clubhouse the other day. And so lots of people coming in there with influencers and the questions, you know, I'm doing this, I'm doing that, and I'm studying this, and I'm in this clubhouse, I'm in this room. And I just got very clear, like even for me, I don't need to sit up in a bunch of rooms and listening. I need to act on something I've heard there.
Absolutely.
I won't go to another conference for National Speakers Association or another meeting or another room until I've taken one thing that I've heard and acted on it. So that's my biggest piece of advice for anybody. Take some action on something and then don't go back and forth all over the place, like bounce all around. See if you can develop some consistency with actioning on that particular area. Then you can step back and assess, does this work? Does it not? Where do I need to make adjustments?
Yes. But,
and I say it out of a space of love and truth, even for me, being all everywhere and not making any roads, inroads anywhere. So be focused, get the input, then be done with getting input and take action on something you've heard. That is it.
Great advice. That's advice I had to use for myself when I left being a principal about 10 years ago. I had to jump out there and really kind of hone in on one thing that I was going to do. And once that one thing worked, you know, smile it out to do other things for other people as well, though. So great job with that. So, Charlotte, we're coming to a time where we're going to do something really fun here now.
Okay, so I'm
about
ready.
The serious stuff, all right? This is called our rapid fire purpose questions, all right?
Okay.
So I'm just going to give you questions. I'm not going to elaborate on them. You just have to give us your best answers. Going to let the audience know all about Charlotte Stallings, okay?
Okay.
Here we go. First one is, how have you turned your dream into a reality?
By jumping out there and saying I'm a speaker and then asking somebody to hire me to speak.
Okay. What gives your life meaning?
Oh, my daughter, relationships, people I'm close to, being able to talk.
Mm-hmm. Yes. If money wasn't an issue, what would you do with your time?
I'd be an actress. I'd be on Broadway. I'd be on a soap opera. That's all I've ever wanted to do was act. And I think that's why I speak, because it's like, that's my way. So I'd be an actress. I'd be in theater.
Love it. What verb best describes you?
extra. I'm going to make it that. I call myself Team Extra. Yeah, I'm circular. Very this way. I'm all around the everywhere and I'm good with it.
Awesome. What problem do you want to solve?
Ooh, I want to solve the problem of people communicating from the heart. Hmm. Like I real talk. That's the problem where we have esoteric high level 50,000 foot talk. I want there to be real talk.
What was your favorite thing to do as a kid?
Dance, I think. Yeah, dance. I love to dance now. And so dancing.
What do you wish you had more time to do?
Read, just really read stuff that I enjoy. I think just do things like go to places that I want to go. Like I want to go look in these caves. And so I got to figure out the time to do that and go look at like the local stuff that's really fun here in Texas. I haven't done all that over all these years. So yeah.
Awesome. What did your 15-year-old self imagine you'd be doing today?
I think my 15-year-old self imagined I would be probably a business executive or something, probably doing what I'm doing now. On stage, I'd be an actress.
Okay.
Yeah.
So if you could teach something, what would you teach?
I think it's what I'm doing, teaching people to just believe in themselves mm-hmm. and just to action on stuff. So I would teach that. And I would teach people who can't dance how to dance. I would teach them how to count. Hey,
I would be your first sign up.
My daughter and husband would be first and second. You'd be third. They'd be like this. They'd be clapping on the threes. One, two, three, four. Ooh.
We'd have to have a special class together there.
Yeah. I want them to clap on the right beat. I would teach people who have no rhythm how to get to rhythm.
That's awesome. Who inspires you the most?
It is my mom. It is my dear mom. It is Miss Hunter. It is, it's my sister. It's those people I've talked about.
Okay. What is something about yourself that might surprise others to learn about you?
I'm a twin. My twin was stillborn. My folks didn't know that they were having two children and didn't do ultrasounds back then, but I am a twin. So wow. I think I say that because I forget sometimes that I am and I am inspired by it. And I say straight up, Tommy, when I'm in a funk, when I hit a brick wall and I'm tripping and I go, you know what? My sister didn't make it.
Yeah.
God allowed me to be here. So I need to live for her and yes. I need to live fully and do all that I'm called to do. Yeah. Oh,
that's awesome. Mm-hmm. Beautiful. What's on your bucket list to do within the next year?
Write more books to build my empire that I've been just teetering with, to employ people, create gainful employment for people, partnering with somebody else to build another business. And to grow my bank account and yes. to grow as a person, to just really grow as a person and to be genuine in all that I do and all that I say.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. What will you spend time doing no matter what?
With the people that I love. I'm gonna figure out the time to do that no matter what, no matter what's facing me, what's happening. And to be thankful, like that for me, just gratitude, no matter what. Mm-hmm.
What would you like your grandchildren to say about you?
Ooh, that I was fun and that I didn't look like a grandma and I didn't act like a traditional grandma and that I'd let them dance and that we had a good old time. Like I was that grandma.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. If you were a superhero, what would your superpower be?
Oh, my superpower would be making people tell the truth.
Okay.
Like you cannot lie. I got a thing about just looking me in the face and lying. So no lying.
That's right. That's right. If I were to walk through your house, what clues would reveal about what you love?
You'd see color. I love color, like bright stuff. Mm-hmm. Kind of eclectic, which is fine, but I do like symmetry. So that's kind of weird thing about me. I like symmetry, but I like, randomness. So color for sure. That would be an indicator for me.
Mm-hmm. Good. What sparks your creativity?
Hearing other people. So when I'm in dialogue, I sometimes don't consider myself too creative, but in dialogue, things will spark and ping, and that helps me to be creative.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I like that. If you became president today, what law would you pass first?
Oh my gosh. I would pass a law that required that people are respectful toward one another. We do not have to, agree, but we got to be respectful. So yes. Treating people with dignity.
Mm-hmm. Love it. If you could follow someone around for a day, who would you follow around and why?
I think I'd maybe follow Jeff Bezos around or Warren Buffett. I mean, they are people who are in the stratosphere with regard to wealth accumulation and business. I would have loved to have followed Steve Jobs around. But I like that Jeff Bezos money and Warren Buffett money.
Yes.
I'd follow them around.
Yes, absolutely. What do you love doing for others?
I love to give to others. So when I have gatherings, like one of my biggest goals several years ago, I had a birthday party, had all like my best friends. So maybe 20 women, had them come to brunch and gave them gifts, nice gifts. I like to give to people. Yeah, that's what I love to do.
That's awesome. What's the best gift someone's ever given you?
It wasn't a material thing. It was time and it was attention. It was them hearing me, seeing me, and giving me space to be me. So, Yeah, that I'd say was a gift.
What's the best compliment you've ever received?
Best compliment, when I have been a speaker somewhere and someone comes to me and they say, I get it. I understand about this money and investing stuff, or I see myself differently. That is the best. Oh, that does everything for me.
Love it. What's the one thing you have never been afraid to do?
Get up and speak and talk and just get up. Somebody says, who's gonna? I will. I'll do it. You want me to talk? Yeah. Somebody says, give a report on something, an update. I'm going to give me a whole PowerPoint. I'm going to give me a whole flip chart and turn it into a presentation.
That's what I'm talking
Never
about.
Been afraid to do that. Yes.
Good. Good. What does success look like for you?
Success looks like being whole, being well, physically, mentally, spiritually, socially. Success does have a financial piece to it. It is having ample reserves, and it is being able to take care of whatever I need to take care of when I need to take care of it.
Yes.
For me or for others. So that's what it looks like.
So what would the people who know you best say your purpose is in life?
To encourage people, to inspire them, to motivate them. I think that's what they would say that I do.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. What are you most grateful for?
Most grateful for really having peace in my mind and heart, literally at this time. Very grateful for God preserving my mother's life and being able for her to be on the other side of what was so tough early in life, for her to really see the rewards of her sacrifices. Yeah.
Awesome. And last but not least, how do you want to be remembered in history? How do you want to go down in history?
I want to go down in history as the person who gave people the liberty, the freedom to not get stuck in their past, who encouraged them to go forward, regardless of what slip-ups, trip-ups might have happened, and who, you know, just was there with a smile, some encouragement, support, and a good time.
Mm-hmm. Awesome. Give yourself a round of applause. Charlotte, you made it. Great job. You did it. Fantastic. So everyone, you got a chance to learn a lot more about Charlotte Stallings. If you didn't know her then, you definitely know her now. Charlotte, as we're going to wrap things up, anything else you want to share with our audience out there?
Nope. I just want everybody to embrace who you are. I think that's really huge. Don't worry about who somebody else is. Don't try to be Tommy. Don't try to be Charlotte.
That's right.
Celebrate who you are. And glow in that and grow in that and be all you can be. The Bible says our gifts will make room for us. So you were created uniquely and fabulously, just like you are. Go forward in that.
Mm-hmm. Amen and amen.
Amen, so amen.
Please be sure to subscribe to our podcast, Resilient Stories. Download, give us a review, share with your friends. And today's episode, again, was brought to you by a million Pathways Business. Go to our website and check it out there. And again, thank you all for joining us today. Deuces, I love you. God bless. And if you know other overcomers out there who have great stories, please refer them on to our show. We'd love to have them on here to encourage other people to do great things. All right. So again, thank you all very much. God bless. Deuces.
Yours truly, Dr. Watson.